Today's scripture reading comes from Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. This here ends the reading.
Again, I'm happy to be here. Did you hear the one about the preacher who stood in the pulpit and said to the congregation, to counterbalance last week's 26-point sermon, today's sermon will be pointless? Well, I hope that by the end of this, you don't think this was pointless. But imagine that you're sitting by a pond of still water. Drop a stone in the pond and see the water move out in circles. Now consider four things. First, consider the ripple effect of a simple random act of kindness as people pay it forward. Secondly, consider the ripple effect of a mother or father's love, devotion, and instruction of their children as their children move out to bless the world. Third, consider the ripple effect of the Christian witness. For Jesus said, we read in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. And then fourth, consider ultimately the ripple effect of your life and mine. As we do that, we're going to remember the ripple effect of one Holy Spirit-inspired life, that of John Wesley. And we're going to consider two special days in the life of the church, Pentecost Sunday and Aldersgate Day. Today is Pentecost Sunday. On the day of Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit coming upon those who gathered in Jerusalem 50 days after the resurrection. Aldersgate Day is remembered on May 24th each year by United Methodists. It was on that day in the year 1738 that John Wesley, touched by the Holy Spirit, gained an assurance of his faith, and his life from that point moved forward in powerful ways. On the day of Pentecost causes us to think about the Holy Spirit coming in power like a mighty wind and tongues of fire, as was read. Aldersgate Day allows us to think of the quiet assurance of faith that the presence of the Holy Spirit can give us. They say that when Christian Herder was the governor of Massachusetts, he was running hard for a second term in office. And one day, after a busy morning of chasing votes and no lunch, he arrived late in the afternoon at a church barbecue. It was late, and he was famished, and so he moved down the serving line and he held out his plate in front of the woman who was serving the chicken. And she put a piece of chicken on his plate and then turned to the next person in line. "Excuse me," the governor said. "Do you mind if I have another piece?" "Sorry," the woman said. "I'm only supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person." "But I'm starved," the governor said. "Sorry," the woman said again. "Only one per customer." Well, Governor Herder was a modest, unassuming kind of man, but he decided that this time he was going to throw a little weight around, and so he said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the governor of this state." "Do you know who I am?" the woman said. "I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move along." Now, most of us here know who John Wesley is or was. Maybe some don't, but it's important to rehearse and to remember our spiritual roots. John Wesley was raised in the Christian faith. He heard his father's preaching from the pulpit. He received his mother's religious instruction at home. John Wesley came to believe that there was a special plan for his life, partly because at the age of 6, he was rescued from the second-story window of the parsonage, which was on fire. A plant brand plucked from the burning, was what he came to understand himself to be, and those were the words that are written on his tombstone. As an adult, John Wesley was ordained in the Church of England. He spent time at Oxford with a group of young men dubbed the Holy Club because they diligently studied the Scriptures together and did many good works, such as visiting those in prison, and all started at 5 in the morning. Then he traveled as a missionary from England to America to share the message of Christ. Yet John Wesley had a problem. He lacked an assurance of faith despite all his religious effort and training all those 35 years. And if you lack an assurance of faith, you might be blessed by this account. Of course, everybody's account of coming to faith is different. We all have different experiences, but his account may add to your understanding. John Wesley, by the grace of God, would come to a vital faith. So I want to frame our thinking this day around four important quotes that John Wesley gave concerning his faith journey. Early in the year 1738, John Wesley, after a miserable experience in the colonies of Georgia as a missionary, returned to England. And he kept a journal, and he wrote on his journal concerning the state of his soul. And this is the first quote. "I have a fair summer religion." The fuller quote is, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me? I have a fair summer religion." Background is that for over 30 years, even though he had tried so hard to please God, John Wesley lived in spiritual poverty, having a fair summer religion. That ended May 24, 1738. John Wesley had a Holy Spirit experience, often referred to as his Aldersgate experience. He had reluctantly that evening attended a Moravian meeting held at Aldersgate Street, hence the name. And there someone read the words that Martin Luther had penned 100 or so more years ago. Luther had written a preface to the book of Romans, and in it he described how God works in a person's soul. And it might have sounded deadly dull to someone, but to John Wesley, the Spirit of God spoke to his heart. And that leads us to the second quote, perhaps his most famous quote. In essence, it is this. He said, "I felt my heart strangely warm." It concerns the assurance that came to him that night. Quote number two in the fuller context was this. About a quarter before nine, while he, that is Luther, was describing the change that God works in the human heart through faith in Christ, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." And it was from that experience of assurance by the Holy Spirit and others that he continued to have in the life of John Wesley that the Methodist movement began. It created a great ripple effect for the cause of Christ. His heartwarming experience of the Holy Spirit was likely a quiet experience, in contrast to the powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Perhaps, and I don't know this, but perhaps the person who was seated next to him did not even know what was taking place in John Wesley's heart. The third quote came on April of 1739, 11 months after his heartwarming experience. Concerns field preaching. John Wesley was a high churchman. And the idea of preaching outside of the church was abhorrent to him, at least up to that point. Yet he was encouraged to preach outdoors by his friend, George Whitefield, being told that in this way he could reach many people. Field preaching became a key part of his ministry. And quote number three, "At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I submitted to become more vile." Found out that spell check doesn't like more vile. But he submitted to become more vile and proclaimed in the highways the glad tidings of salvation, speaking from a little eminence in the ground adjoining the city to about 3,000 people. Now this was the beginning of the circuit riding preachers sent out by Mr. Wesley, something that is so crucial to the Methodist movement. Quote number four came a few days after this first field preaching experience. He said, "I look upon all the world as my parish. That is, in whatever part of it I am, I judge it to be meet, right, and my bounden duty to declare unto all that will hear the glad tidings of salvation." Then someone summed up the next 50 years of his ministry in this way: as time went on, inspired by the Holy Spirit, John Wesley was mightily used by the Lord to reform England. His Methodists became a national force. And John rode thousands of miles preaching only as a man filled with the Spirit can preach, telling the gospel to all who would listen. He acted as though he were out of breath in pursuit of souls. In fact, it has been said that wherever John Wesley preached, lives were changed and morals and manners were altered for the better. And it's been conjectured that his preaching helped to spare England the kind of revolution that occurred in France. The Holy Spirit-inspired life of John Wesley caused a ripple effect that touched England and America and around the world. That ripple effect of the Holy Spirit-inspired life has touched those of us who are today a part of the United Methodist Church. It touched those folks at Chippewa UMC, where I was raised in the faith in the 50s and in the 60s, and it touches those of us who gather here at Otterbein as we worship. John Wesley's Holy Spirit-inspired life invites us on this day of Pentecost to think about how the Holy Spirit can touch us. We heard a few moments ago of the powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2, a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire. But I also invite you to think about the more peaceful way in which the Holy Spirit works, a quieter way. This was read for you too, the fruits of the Spirit. We are told are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit touches us and works in us in several ways. Our Presbyterian friends, in their Book of Common Prayer, offer this prayer for Pentecost. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us, and may the gifts of your Spirit be our goal and our strength, now and always. Amen. In the Celtic tradition, the Holy Spirit is represented not by a peaceful dove, but instead by a wild goose. The wild goose reveals the Spirit, which is passionate, noisy, and contagious. The symbol reminds us that God's Spirit cannot be tamed, God's Spirit cannot be contained either. But we also have the image of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon the Lord Jesus at his baptism. Kathy Schaefer asks, so what best represents the Holy Spirit? On the one hand, the Holy Spirit is gentle as a dove coming silently, planting the seeds of wisdom in our hearts. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit is sometimes rambunctious as a goose, wrestling us from our sedentary ways, disturbing the status quo, injecting the fire of God's love. Today we remember the explosive power of the Holy Spirit coming in tongues of fire, but we also think of the quieter ways in which the Spirit of God works. Wesley Weatherhead was an outstanding Methodist preacher of another generation. He was a writer as well. And he told of visiting Aldersgate in London, the place where John Wesley had his transforming Holy Spirit conversion. And in this small chapel, he saw a plaque on the wall that read, "On this spot, on May 24, 1738, John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed." As Weatherhead sat in one of the back pews, he prayed and he pondered about Wesley's warmed heart. As he did that, the chapel door opened, and an older man with a cane came walking down the aisle. And when this man came to the plaque, he read out loud those words, "On this spot in May 24th, 1738, John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed." And the old man dropped to his knees and exclaimed, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again. for me. What was that man asking? Was he asking for the Lord to come to him in tongues of fire as described in Acts chapter 2? Was he asking for the fruits of the Spirit shared by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5? Or was he asking for the Holy Spirit to come to him and give him an assurance of faith? From the context, we would think that he was asking for an assurance that his heart too might be strangely warmed. But perhaps he was praying more broadly, like John Henry Newman. Come, O Holy Spirit, come as holy fire and burn in us. Come as holy wind and cleanse within us. Come as holy light and lead us from the darkness. Come as holy truth, dispel our ignorance. Come as holy power and enable our weakness. Come as holy life and dwell in us. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us, until we are set free from the service of ourselves to your servants in the world. On this Pentecost Sunday, across the church, we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit in power. On Aldersgate Day, last month, May 24th, we remembered that the Spirit came in John Wesley's heart in a much quieter way, when it was strangely warmed. Today, however, is not primarily a history lesson. This is not simply a commemoration of events long ago, though we should remember. Today, it is good to come to the realization of all that the Holy Spirit has done and what the Holy Spirit will continue to do in us and through us, His people, for the transformation of the world. Pentecost invites us to look forward. Pentecost is a display of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power is available to the church today, to you and to me as individuals with faith in Christ. Pentecost also calls us to remember that the Holy Spirit speaks in many ways to the hearts of believers, the hearts of those who are open to the Lord. Just as no two conversion stories are the same, so no two believers will testify to the working of the Spirit in their lives in exactly the same way. So now let us consider the ripple effect of your life and mine when we are living for Jesus and when we are touched by the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, I think it was probably 10 or maybe even 11 now years ago, I shared another John Wesley quote with a group of young people in the confirmation class that I was teaching. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And during our 9 months of class together, we met in the Sunday school hour from September to May. From time to time, we referred to John Wesley in that statement. So on Confirmation Sunday, I shared the do all the good you can quote with the congregation. And then I stated the obvious concerning those 6 8th graders who were about to make their public profession of faith in Christ. And I said, we don't know the future. We don't know where these young people will be or what good they can do. We cannot predict the future, but we trust the Lord will lead them. And then I shared this exercise. Maybe this is familiar to some of you. Name the 5 wealthiest people in the world. Name the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners. Name 10 people who have won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize. That followed with this observation. These people were the best in their fields, but the applause died. Awards tarnish. Achievements are forgotten. Accolades and certificates are buried with their owners. The point is that it's hard to remember the headliners of yesteryear. But then we did another exercise. See how you do on this one. List 3 teachers who aided your journey through school. Name 2 friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Think of people who have made you feel appreciated and special. Is that exercise easier? What's the lesson? The lesson is that people who make a difference in your life and mine are not usually the people with fame, the most credentials, the most money, the most awards. They are the ones who care. They are the ones who demonstrate their concern for you and me personally, and perhaps they're the same ones who are filled with the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Every life affects other lives. Drop a stone in water and watch the ripple effect. Drop a life in the world and see where that sphere of influence will go. Now, as I shared that ripple effect idea with the confirmation Sunday several years ago, near the conclusion of the message I said, Nina and Jessica, Courtney and Emily, Jacob and Scott have the potential to do much good in the world by the power of the Spirit of God. They may not become famous, but they do have the potential to touch the lives of others for good and for God. So think of the ripple effect of your life and mine, and the good that we could do even today, and hear this poem. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done, leave countless marks for good or ill ere sets the setting sun. This is the wish I always wish, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help other lives it touches on the way. The invitation to Christian discipleship is that you and I may ask in these closing moments for the Holy Spirit to touch our lives. Do it again, Lord. Do it again for me, so that we may in turn touch others with the grace of God, continuing that ripple effect that started with those early disciples. The Lord can do much with one Holy Spirit-inspired life. The Lord can do much with your Holy Spirit-inspired life. Let us bow for prayer. Gracious and loving God, we do thank you as we remember the way that the Spirit has worked in the life of the disciples, in the life of John Wesley, in the lives of others who have crossed our paths and in our own lives. May we continue to be open to the leading of the Spirit in the power of your grace, we pray. Amen.